Howdy, and welcome to Bob the Lector. I'm Bob. The purpose of this podcast is to inspire Catholic lectors to bring their proclamation of God's Word to life. This episode is for the July 12th Sunday Mass's second reading. It's the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time, Year A. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed for us. For creation awaits with eager expectation the revelation of the children of God. For creation was made subject to futility, not of its own accord, but because of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself would be set free from slavery to corruption and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that all creation is groaning in labor pains, even until now. And not only that, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan within ourselves as we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. The Word of the Lord. Welcome to the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time, y'all. Paul reverts to his use of long and convoluted sentence structures in his discussion of the role of suffering as a metaphysical condition that defines life. We'll break this reading into bite-sized pieces to extract clarity from his complexity. So let's get to it, shall we? I always start my own lecture practice with preparation, which is not the external proclamation, but the internal discernment of the message. What is God saying to us? What is His purpose? What is the meaning of this reading? Because if it doesn't mean anything to us, how can we as lectors make it mean anything to the congregation before us? Paul's writing around 57 AD to a mixed community of Gentiles and Jews navigating persecution, including martyrdom. Today's second reading continues with Romans, as before since we returned to ordinary time. Here Paul writes about the destiny that awaits Christians at the end of time. He uses the metaphor of a person in labor to describe our current suffering. While the pain is great in the moment, it's given purpose by a glorious new life. As we are redeemed through the death and resurrection of Christ, we become fully adopted children of God. One of the tenets of public speaking is to know your audience. Who are the target recipients of this message? Paul makes the argument for redemptive suffering. Suffering without purpose is unbearable, but if it's to achieve a greater good, it might become tolerable. This is the message of redemptive suffering, that participation in Christ's cross leads to participation in His glory. The pews before you are full of good souls carrying heavy personal crosses in their lives. Imagine those before you who are suffering in the immediate now, whether it be emotional, physical, financial, mental, or relational. Direct this message to them. This passage is mostly an intellectual exercise, but there are also instances of hope and optimism, so we can appeal to both the heads and the hearts of our congregations. What do you get from this reading? We begin, brothers and sisters, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed for us. The salutation, brothers and sisters, tells us we should have an intimate tone for this reading. Interestingly, Paul had not yet traveled to Rome, yet he addresses the Christian community there with filial endearment. Consider two ways to kick off this reading and choose the one most authentic for you. Brothers and sisters, with an upward lilt, or brothers and sisters, with a downward one. Paul's opening sentence tells us suffering loses its power when placed beside eternity. Use an introspective demeanor and tone of voice as you read, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are as nothing. When you say, are as nothing, compared with, think of how you would use this expression in everyday conversation. For example, my Labrador retrievers are energetic, Butter is nothing compared with the time they ate espresso beans. Smile broadly with a joyous demeanor and eye contact as you read, compared with the glory to be revealed for us. If you can do so authentically, add a throat tremble when you say the word glory for added emotion. Place emphasis on consider, sufferings, present, nothing, glory, and revealed. Insert micropauses after time and nothing. Our next section is the first sub-sentence of a compound sentence. For creation awaits with eager expectation the revelation of the children of God. Use a tone of excitement as you read this sub-sentence. Stress, eager expectation, revelation, children, and God. Insert a micropause after expectation. The second sub-sentence of this compound sentence is, for creation was made subject to futility, not of its own accord, but because of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself would be set free from slavery to corruption and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. The reference to the one who subjected it is to Adam. Original sin and all subsequent human sin renders creation subject to futility. This affirms the church's doctrine of original sin. Use a serious and sober tone and demeanor as you read, for creation was made subject to futility, not of its own accord, but because of the one who subjected it. Switch to measured optimism as you proclaim, in hope that creation itself would be set free from slavery to corruption. This references the promise of and the wait for the Messiah, which is fulfilled through Jesus' sacrifice. Break through to another level with a big smile, eye contact, and joy as you proclaim and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. Stress subject, futility, not, own, hope, creation itself, free, slavery, corruption, glorious, and children. Insert micropauses after accord, itself, corruption, and freedom. Read the one who subjected it as the end of a sentence and in hope that creation itself as the beginning of a new one. I recognize the second segment here doesn't constitute a complete sentence, but Paul's circuitous style could be broken down for some ease of organization and internal continuity. The last sentence is another long one. We know that all creation is groaning in labor pains, even until now. And not only that, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan within ourselves as we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. The message here is that groaning is sacred. Not all prayers use words. Sometimes it's a deep, nonverbal ache in our soul, a silent cry for healing, for justice, for God. This groan touches on the tension of anticipation yet unfulfilled. The first fruits of the Spirit tell us we already possess grace, but our waiting for adoption and the redemption of our bodies tells us our final glorification is yet to be achieved. Use a solemn tone for, we know that all creation is groaning in labor pains, even until now. Say, not only that, in the same manner you would say it in everyday conversation. For example, we got to babysit our infant grandson over the weekend. Not only that, but he slept in until 7:30. Use an introspective tone as you read, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, move to a tenor of yearning as you proclaim, we also groan within ourselves as we wait for adoption. Return to a joyous smile and eye contact as you close with the redemption of our bodies. If you can do so authentically, add a throat tremble when you say the word redemption for added jubilation. Also add an upward lilt for bodies. Highlight all creation, groaning, labor pains, even until now, not only that, we ourselves, first fruits, spirit, grown, ourselves, wait, and adoption. Insert micro pauses after pains, the second ourselves, and wait. Well, that's all for now. Thanks for listening. My hope is these ideas will help you find your authentic voice, so your proclamation of God's word will transform your listeners, whether they're in pain and broken or just going through the motions. Because the good news deserves great delivery. Visit us on the web at bobthelector.org, and we'll see you at the AMBO. By the way, if you like what you hear and are so inclined, please give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and forward this podcast to your fellow lectors, your pastor, and your liturgy director. Thanks so much.